Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Well, we've never seen a day in our lifetime like yesterday. And today on Radioactivity, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls and talk about whether or not our democracy has come to an end. With the actions of the president, the actions of the president's supporters who stormed the Capitol yesterday, and the actions of the president's supporters who are in Congress. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There's heavy police presence at the Capitol today. After that violent mob stormed the Capitol yesterday, as lawmakers were meeting to confirm Joe Biden's presidential win. Yesterday began as a day of reckoning for President Trump's futile attempt to cling to power as Congress took up the certification of Biden's victory. It fractured into scenes of fear and agony that left a prime ritual of American democracy in tatters. A pro-Trump mob overran the U.S. Capitol yesterday, occupying the hallowed space of American democracy. A woman was shot and killed by police. Three others died in apparent medical emergencies. Streets this morning in the District of Columbia are quiet. Several lawmakers have vowed to investigate law enforcement's response to yesterday's violent U.S. Capitol breach by the mob supporting Donald Trump. Among those, Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio, a Democrat who chairs the committee that controls the Capitol police budget. He told reporters strategic mistakes have been made and the rioting was an embarrassment, both on behalf of the mob and on behalf of the president. And the insurrection and the attempted coup, but also the lack of professional planning and dealing with what we knew was going to occur, he said, needs to be investigated. Karen Bass, a congresswoman from California, Democrat, told reporters there must be a full investigation of the Capitol Police response. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Former Republican President George W. Bush described the violent mob yesterday as sickening and heartbreaking. He declined to call out Trump, though, or his allies. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, a top House Republican and the daughter of Bush's vice president, was much more direct in an interview yesterday with Fox News. She said, "There's no question the president formed the mob. The president incited the mob," Cheney said. Cheney went on to say, "He lit the flame," referring to Trump. Trump's former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who denounced the president as a threat to the Constitution last year, described the violent assault on the Capitol as an effort to subjugate American democracy by mob rule and was fomented by Mr. Trump. Anthony Scaramucci, who briefly served as Trump's White House communications director, said this yesterday, "Republican elected officials still supporting Trump need to be tried alongside of him for treason." Well, after the afternoon of unprecedented chaos yesterday at the U.S. Capitol, there was a solemn debate last night on the basic principles of American democracy. Florida's two Republican U.S. senators split on the question of whether or not to vote to decertify Pennsylvania's Electoral College results. Senator Marco Rubio voted against decertifying the results. Senator Rick Scott was one of seven Republican senators to vote in favor of decertifying the results, meaning that Scott voted against approving the Electoral College numbers. The House and Senate finalized the Electoral College tally this morning at 3, formalizing Joe Biden's 306 to 232 win. The House of Representatives also voted to uphold Arizona and Pennsylvania's electors yesterday evening, but Florida's Republican delegation was split. Most Republicans voted to decertify the electoral votes overwhelmingly. Two of Florida's 15 House Republicans voted not to decertify Arizona and Pennsylvania's electors. Miami's two Republicans in the House of Representatives, Representative Carlos Jimenez and Mario Diaz-Balart, voted in favor of decertifying Arizona's and Pennsylvania's electors late last night and this morning. What do you think about what happened yesterday? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There was some impassioned debate last night in the U.S. Senate and in the House, and we're going to hear one of the speeches. We're going to hear New Jersey Democrat Cory Booker right now. This is what he had to say last night as the U.S. Senate was counting the Electoral College votes.
My colleague from New Jersey.
Senator from New Jersey.
Thanks.
Mr. Vice President, I can only think of two times in American history that individuals laid siege to our Capitol, stormed our sacred civic spaces, and tried to upend and overrun this government. One was in the War of 1812, and the other one was today. What's interesting about the parallel between the two is they both were waving flags to a sole sovereign, to an individual, surrendering democratic principles to the cult of personality. One was a monarch in England, and the other were the flags I saw all over our Capitol, including in the hallways and in this room, to a single person named Donald Trump. The sad difference between these two times is one was yet another nation in the history of our country that tried to challenge the United States of America. But this time, we brought this hell upon ourselves. My colleague from Texas said that this was a moment where there were unprecedented allegations of voter fraud. Yes, that is true. They were unprecedented when the president, before the election even happened, said, if I lose this election, then the election was rigged. That's unprecedented. It's unprecedented before the night of the voting, even the counting of the vote was even done, that he called it rigged. And it's unprecedented that he is fanning the flames of conspiracy theory to create a smokescreen in this nation to cover what he is trying to do, which is undermine our democratic principles. But it's not just that. The shame of this day is it's being aided and abetted by good Americans who are falling prey, who are choosing Trump over truth, who are surrendering to the passion of lies as opposed to standing up and speaking truth to power, who are trying to fundraise off of the shame of conspiracy theories as opposed to doing the incalculably valuable patriotic thing to speak truth to our nation. Our democracy is wounded, and I saw it when I saw pictures of yet another insurgency, of a flag of another group of Americans who tried to challenge our nation. I saw the flag of the Confederacy there. What will we do? How will we confront this shame? How will we confront this dark second time in American history? I pray that we remember a Georgian. And his words, all I can say is we must in spirit join together like those Georgians on a bridge called the Edmund Pettus who join hands, who were called threats to our democracy, who were called outrageous epithets when they sought to expand our democracy, to save it and to heal it. When they joined arm in arm and said what we should say now, commit ourselves to that ideal, that together we shall overcome.
Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I yield up to 5 minutes to the Senator from Nebraska, Senator Sass.
Senator Cory Booker's speech last night on the floor of the U.S. Senate after the attempt to stage a coup yesterday in Washington, D.C. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Here are the questions I'm thinking of. What would have happened if Black Lives Matter activists had invaded the Capitol or Congress yesterday as Congress was counting electoral votes? What would have happened if BLM activists had invaded the Capitol yesterday? or labor unions, or anti-war activists? Would the security forces have acted the same way? Were you involved in the Black Lives Matter protest this summer, where roads were attempted to be blocked? How did the police treat you when that happened this summer? How did the police here in the Tampa Bay area treat you if you blocked a road this summer? You saw the protesters on TV, and you've seen the pictures and the video online. You saw the Confederate flag. What kind of country would we have if this group yesterday were in charge of the country and had overtaken Congress? What kind of country would we end up with? What do you think should happen next? What should happen to President Trump after he cheered on the protesters yesterday? What do you think about the members of Congress who voted to ignore the results of the election and try to overturn it yesterday? There's an engine that fires this up, not just President Trump and his access to the media, but there is a far-right engine that includes local commercial radio talk shows, cable television channels, and internet sites. A lot of these are supported by advertisers. Do you shop at those advertisers? And what do you think of the members of Congress, including our U.S. Senator Rick Scott, who believes without actual proof that the November election was stolen for Donald Trump? Have you been to big demonstrations? Maybe you were at the anti-war demonstration in Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1971 when demonstrators were rounded up and put in RFK Stadium. Does the invasion of the Capitol yesterday help politicians who now are very tied closely to President Donald Trump? Those politicians are easy to find. They're everywhere. Did the invasion of the Capitol yesterday help those people that have had nothing to say about Donald Trump's anti-democratic tendencies? And how endangered is our democracy? Those are questions I'd like to talk about today. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to David in Clearwater. David, you're on. What would you like to say?
First of all, I'd like to say that Rick Scott has no business saying anything about Pennsylvania. He barely had any business in Florida coming from Texas. He flew out of here on the jet that he sold, and then spent $2 million of our money to refurbish his jet, and then flew out of here. And he dares to try to support this insurrection. The other thing I wanted to say was, in a commission of a crime, if someone is killed, then those around are charged, normally charged, with that death. And this is no different. This is a criminal enterprise, and the people around that supported this should be charged with that also. As far as our government officials, Trump should immediately be impeached. This is a man that still is completely unstable. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 12 days, and he's got the nuclear code. Now, when Pence ordered the guard out, I'm hoping that they've isolated this guy, you know, for everyone's benefit.
Yeah, we don't know what they've done. David, you said impeached. The Florida members of Congress who are Republican are almost solidly in Trump's pocket. Almost exactly. Solidly. You know, so do you think that impeachment, I mean, if you were to call up your member of Congress, and I don't know who your member of Congress is, it might be Bill Arrakis, but
it is.
You might not have an audience. He might totally dismiss you.
True. I doubt it will happen, but it should happen, and there should be resignation. And somebody said it last night, I watched the entire proceeding, going to get a wink, asleep watching all this. And I was relieved at 3:40 this morning when Biden was finally rightfully, you know, approved to be our president, which, you know, is this whole thing's ridiculous. But someone said, you either stand with America or you stand with a traitor. And that's really the clearest line. So that's really what I wanted to say.
All right, David, thank you. I think that's a good point. Either you stand with America and the democratic institutions, or you don't. Charles writes this, I'm tired of people saying they didn't see this coming. Most of us have been waiting for this for more than 4 years, writes Charles in Tampa. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. We've got all men in the queue right now. It'd be great to get some women. Amin writes, Trump should be considered as an enemy of the state and his worshipers as terrorists. Full stop. Enough of this. We need to have a dialogue and a debate. I thought we don't negotiate with terrorists. They are a lost cause. I've been saying this for a while. No one believed me, writes Amin. And let's go back to the phones, 813-239-9663. Let's go to another Dave, Dave in Pasco. Dave, thanks for calling. What would you like to say about what happened yesterday?
Rob, don't you think we should have seen this coming?
Well, I certainly, if you listen to this show has been talking about the danger of right-wing violence for more than a decade. So I'm asking you, what do you think would have happened if Black Lives Matter activists had invaded the Capitol yesterday?
Well, I think Black Lives Matter kind of stood back and seen what would happen with the other side. I mean, I just can't believe that they were so ill prepared for what has been talked about for weeks. I think Black Lives Matter goes back to like the Portland thing. And, I don't condone violence on either side, whether it's Portland, Oregon, or Washington, D.C. It seems like there's two different sides. And I think anybody that breaks glass, whether it be Starbucks or Portland or the Capitol, which was atrocious yesterday, and, Trump's gone. Let him go. All this talk about impeachment and...
Yeah, but he's not gone. He's there for 13 more days. He's there until January 20th, and he has his fingers on the nuclear trigger. And who knows what he's going to do? He's certainly not concerned about the COVID crisis because we don't see him say anything about it. We don't see him being very concerned about the Congress failure to vote $2,000 checks to Americans. He called for it, but then he shut up and he didn't lobby Congress. Dave, I don't agree, but thank you for calling 813-239-9663. Let's go to Fred in St. Pete. Fred, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. You've asked a lot of serious questions, and I've got 2 points on my mind right now. Number one, as a resident of Florida for 80 years, I am ashamed that we sent somebody like Rick Scott to represent this state, and he voted against the results of the Electoral College. That should tell everything. Body down here, something. Number two, at the end of the road, thank goodness, Trump's going to be gone. I know we've got 13 days to cross our fingers and pray or whatever, but just imagine if we had to look forward to another 4 years of Trump. What would we be talking about today? That's all I had to say, Rob.
All right, Fred, thank you. Thank you for that. John in Sarasota writes this, it should not be lost on the American people that police unions voted en masse and in unison to support the fascist Trump to escape reform and accountability. This fact clearly lays to rest the big lie that it's only a few bad apples. Thus, the lame response by police to the fascists yesterday who invaded the Capitol, they are brethren, in some cases assisting in taking selfies with their buddies, writes John. Thank you, John, for that. 813-239-9663. And let's go to Mark Bureau. Mark Bureau.
How's it going, Rob?
Good, Mark. What would you like to tell us?
I tell you, first thing that came to my mind when I was watching all this yesterday was the caller on my show Tuesday that was so angry, if you remember, that said to me, I want to be on the side of the people with the gun.
Yeah, that was a guy from Palmetto that called your show on Tuesday.
That's the first thought I thought of. The second thing I thought of was in response to the law enforcement there in Washington, D.C., I thought about how it was that Jack Ruby could get into the Dallas police basement and kill Lee Oswald. And the only way he could have done that is with the police letting him in.
Letting him go by. All right, Mark, thank you. Thank you for that.
You got it.
All right. Good to hear from you. Mark's show is on Tuesdays at 12 noon here on WMNF in Tampa. Mark, thank you. Let's go to a woman, Laura in Lutz. Laura, thank you for breaking the barrier, the gender barrier. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, that if it had been Black Lives Matter, you know, peaceful demonstrators, they would have been shot down before they got anywhere near the building. They would have been shot down as soon as they got near the barriers. And, you know, watching what was going on, it was obvious that, you know, it was just the police were just letting these people do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, Laura, something really odd happened yesterday, too, is that as I was watching the people invade the Capitol, the Trumpers invade the Capitol, a lot of them were carrying bags. I mean, they had duffel bags, they had backpacks, some were dressed in, body armor. Who knows what they were bringing in?
Well, they were bashing that window in with one of those shields. Did you notice that?
Yeah, and then there was certainly gunfire yesterday in the Capitol. You can still see the bullet holes.
I mean, I've been...
If Black Lives Matter people had guns at their demonstrations...
But they never did.
They never did, I know. But if they did, how do you think the police... I mean, we would see bodies all over the street, right?
If they hadn't had guns, they would shoot them down anyway. I mean, yeah. And they kept saying they're giving out tear gas, but I mean, it didn't look to me like they were getting tear gas at all. Not like, you know, any peaceful demonstrators usually get tear gas. It was just a travesty, the whole thing. And I've been terrified for 4 years from the day, you know.
And Laura, do you think our democracy is in danger, or you think we're going to pull out of this?
I think we'll pull out of it, but I think, yes, we're in danger. And unfortunately, a fourth of our nation are insane.
Yeah, all right, Laura, thanks a lot. Yeah, they
3 million people that believe in Trump. I mean, that's really frightening.
Yeah, it is. Laura, thank you very much, and thank you for your call. We've got an open line, which is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Caroline in Plant City. Caroline, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, a gentleman had mentioned impeachment. That's not going to protect us from this man. I don't know the mechanisms to start the 25th Amendment invocation, but it certainly seems like it would apply now. And, 13 days or whatever it is a long time considering who we have right now. And for people to just say, oh, well, you know, just let it be, there's no way we can let this continue. He's done enough now. If people don't understand how dangerous he is, to keep him from, I don't know if his Twitter account's been suspended, but what's to keep him from, somehow communicating something else outrageous? And these people are fired up, and it is very worrisome. I fear for Congress, their safety, and I fear for our national security, and it's just very, troubling. And so, what I saw yesterday was just, I'm not a spring chicken, and I'll tell you, I can't imagine, this was just outrageous, And I had something on my mind, and it just went out. But
okay, well, Caroline, yeah. Thanks a lot. I don't think any of us have ever seen anything like this in our lifetimes. Nobody alive. Caroline, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I'm asking the question, what would have happened if Black Lives Matter activists had invaded the Capitol as Congress was counting electoral votes? Or if labor unions or anti-war activists who were protesting had invaded Congress? What would have happened? What would the security forces have done? Were you involved in the Black Lives Matter protests this summer where roads were blocked, and how did the police treat you? You saw the protesters on TV, and if you've seen the pictures and the video online of what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C., what kind of country would we have if those people were in charge of the country and had overtaken Congress? What should happen next? What should happen to President Trump after he cheered on the protesters yesterday? What do you think about of the cable TV channels and the internet sites and the local commercial radio stations who are telling you that this election was stolen? Do you shop at their advertisers? What are they saying right now? What do you think of the members of Congress, including our U.S. Senator Rick Scott, who believes without actual proof that the November election was stolen from Donald Trump? Have you been to big demonstrations? Were you at any of the big anti-war demonstrations or other demonstrations in the past? And how did the police treat you? And were you locked up at RFK Stadium in the spring moratorium in the early 1970s in Washington, D.C.? And does the invasion of the Capitol yesterday help politicians who have tied their futures to Donald Trump? And how do we get our country back on track? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ted in Elfers. Ted, you're on. Thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. It's definitely an unusual time in American history right now. I'm vacillating between intense anger and severe despair. You know, I don't know whether to pack my kids in the car and head for Canada or to go to the gun store and buy some guns and protect my property. It's a very strange time. I think democracy in the end will win out simply because there's more people on the side of good and justice than there are on the right side, if you understand what I mean by that. I think that one of the only things that can be done from this point going forward is to start prosecuting everyone involved. That includes the Capitol Police, who opened the barricades and let the protesters walk through. It includes any member of Congress, either the House or the Senate, that are complicit in continuing the traitor in charge's false claims that he actually won the election. I think he needs to be brought up on charges, whether he's a sitting president or not. He's guilty of sedition. And I think that eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, that all the Trump gear, flag, hat, shirt, everything you see, to be treated the same way Germany treated the swastika. Thanks.
As anti-democratic. Ted, thank you. Thank you for that. Kevin writes this, the Confederate flag being waved inside the Capitol yesterday was a reminder of the underlying reason that white people feel their power slipping away and cannot deal with white power being usurped by the browning of America. I think some white people feel that way, Kevin. I don't think all white people feel that way. I think a lot of white people, speaking as one, are repulsed by the Confederate flag and what it stood for and have always been repulsed by it. Kevin, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Eric in Sarasota. Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. All the OANs, Newsmax, and all those, we need to check out who's advertising on them and boycott them because they're fueling the fire. They're spreading misnews, fake news, and part of the cause of yesterday was because of them.
Yeah, I think the engine that feeds this conspiracy theory that the election was stolen, it is talk radio. It is cable TV like Fox and OAN. And unless their advertisers get a conscience or people start to boycott their advertisers, they're going to continue to do the same thing.
And we have to start it. We have to start activating.
Yeah.
Start the boycott.
All right, Eric,
start
thank you.
Those shows just so that you can tell which advertisers are on it.
All right, Eric, thank you.
Stupidities on their shows.
Thank you, Eric. And let's go to Carlos in Tampa. Carlos, you're on 88.5 FM.
Hey, Rob, I'm really surprised. Look, Rob, there is no comparison between Black Lives Matter and this white movement. These a white movement with an ideology, sir. It's completely
What do you
different.
Think would happen? Would have happened had Black Lives Matter activists, which they wouldn't do, but had they invaded Congress yesterday and tried to shut down the Electoral College count? What do you think would have happened to Black Lives Matter activists?
I will say most of them, they will be arrested, shot, you name it. They will be beaten to the death.
And why do you think that didn't happen with these people carrying Confederate and Trump flags yesterday?
Well, because, look, the police, look, number one, Trump supports the police. And I think the police part of the game, they let them in. A lot of people, they don't want to say that, but I believe the police let them in. But, and beside the point, Rob, this is not about the Trump anymore. The scary is, it is an ideology now. You may see it cruise within 4 years running with this ideology. You know, there's a right to bear arms. You might come back and hand all of us a right to bear arms. And I will give this movement four, maybe another 18 years. You may see people shooting at each other in the street with guns.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. All right, Carlos, thanks a lot. But how do we avoid that? That's really one of the questions I'm asking today. Jeff writes this, the media described the events of yesterday as the doings of a pro-Trump mob, but I have heard of some alternative media saying it was the doings of Antifa, Jeff writes. I have heard this kind of explanation many times from those who reject the media. How do we get all these people to have one single understanding of truth, especially when you see the kind of event seen yesterday? Well, PolitiFact has already fact-checked this question of Antifa because the far right in this country is trying to escape blame for this terrible event that happened yesterday, and they're blaming it on Antifa. Well, you all watched it on TV. You saw the Trump flags. You saw the Confederate flags. You saw that it was mostly white people, kind of middle-aged. There were some paunchy people in there. It was not Antifa. It was clearly people who hated the media, who were pro-Trump. The people that showed up at that rally yesterday where President Trump spoke. So I think the evidence is clear to anybody that opens their eyes. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Stuart in St. Petersburg. Stuart, thank you for calling.
Good morning, Rob. Well, you know, yesterday, first of all, was still a sad day that took place. And yet, when we have members of Congress who in the past, Democratic ones, who have protested the Electoral College in different states. I don't hear you guys talking about them and they were being un-American.
Well, Barbara Boxer stood up. We covered that. Barbara Boxer stood up. She was upset during the... was it the 2016 election? Anyway, Barbara Boxer, the senator from California, stood up, and we reported that she stood up and did it. But at the same time, you didn't see people that were supporting the Democratic candidate for president going to Washington, D.C. to try to shut down the vote. So it's one thing to have a U.S. senator say, look, I think something went wrong in Ohio. That was Barbara Boxer's point. So if you look back at that election in Ohio, there were long lines voting. The voting precincts weren't open in black communities. They had shut down many of the black precinct places. And so she had a question about it. But there wasn't an attempt to stop the count of the Electoral College vote. And that's what happened yesterday.
And this is what I'm trying to say, is that you have, and you keep mentioning, like, our senators and congressmen, that they did something so bad that they were protesting. They were not the ones who stormed the Congress, okay? And all of them should be prosecuted because it was wrong, okay? Protesting goes as far as to the steps of Congress, and you can protest all you want. But once you breach that building, to me, you did something wrong. What they did in Portland and other cities for protesting and burning down buildings in other areas, that didn't happen in D.C. What they did in D.C. was just as bad. Do not get me wrong with what I'm saying. But you had Maxine Waters vehemently accusing all this other stuff. And yet, she had that right, as our Congress does too, if they feel that something was not done right in the election. Now, in the end of it all, the Congress did their job. They certified the Electoral College, and we have a new president. Now, as a Republican, I am not going to be like the Democrats for 4 years that said, Trump is not our president. Well, guess what? If anyone said that about Biden, what would you tell them?
He's well, Stuart, I have a longer memory than you. I remember Mitch McConnell saying from the beginning of the Obama administration that he's going to do everything to make sure that his presidency failed. And then we had a string of people, including Donald Trump, going back to 2012 and the Tea Party people in 2010 saying that President Obama was illegitimate. I mean, I don't think that the Republicans are blameless on this, that they were trying to undermine the Obama presidency for its entire 8 years.
And so did, and guess what? In 4 years, so did the Democrats. So
but President Trump is different. He doesn't believe in democracy. He believes in the cult of personality. Obama believed in democracy. Obama did not believe in the cult of personality. President Trump lied many more times. I'm sure President Obama lied. But President Trump lied many more times than did Obama. You have a different kind of person in office. Obama does not equal Trump, or Trump does not equal Obama. They're two very different people.
Right, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you had Obama who blamed police officers before the fact. You have Trump who lies and just thinks that he can do whatever he wants, which is, you know, utterly preposterous. But when you have both parties that do the exact same thing.
I don't think they do the exact same thing. I think Trump's lies are on a different level. I think Trump's treatment of women is on a different level than any other previous president. Trump's business dealings and his lying about his business dealings and his lying about his record and his effort to avoid any sort of scrutiny of his taxes, I think this is all on a different level than any previous politician.
Yeah, but guess what? I'm going to say this to all your listeners. Who's the tax expert that wants to see Trump's tax records that the IRS, who have some of the best, did not find anything wrong in his taxes? Through all the years of his taxes.
Wait, we don't know that. We don't know that. Stuart, we don't know that. You're making stuff up now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. We haven't seen Trump's tax records. And when the New York Times expose came out about the tax records they did get, they found a host of problems. So you know, you're making stuff up, Stuart. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. You've had the longest call of the show, though, so thank you very much. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Wow, so much. First thing, I have two words, false equivalency. That, I think, is what Stewart was doing, equating what happened in the Black Lives Matter, where they burned down some buildings, versus storming the Capitol.
And it wasn't Black Lives Matter people. It was people on the fringes and sometimes right-wing people, including here in Tampa, who burned down buildings.
Their implants are instigators. But even if it was the Black Lives Matter, there's no comparison between the two. It's like, that's insane to say that's the same. Storming the Capitol and undermining democracy is not the same thing as saying, I'm protesting the way you're treating me by doing some property damage. Okay, but sorry, that got me off track. Now, going back to, like you said, with the Black Lives Matter, I think you're right, no question. They would never have been allowed in. They would have been shot before they got there. There would have been a bloodbath. That's just not even a question to ask. But I'm thinking that there's going to be 32% of these people that think that what these demonstrators did, or what these people did that stormed the Capitol, that they're heroes because they're saving democracy. And going back to the impeachment issue, if they do impeach Trump and remove him, that would negate him from ever holding public office again. So if he ever, so all these hold that he might have on these congressmen or might have on these Republicans, I think that would be undermined.
Do you think that what the president did yesterday, though, by urging his supporters to go to the Capitol, because if you listen back to that speech that he gave yesterday at the start of the demonstration yesterday morning, he was urging his people to go to the Capitol. So by doing doesn't that disqualify him from any future office? Because you don't, as a president, want to stop the count of the Electoral College votes. That's un-American.
Well, no. Because just because I said something like that, or I've instigated that, doesn't disqualify me, because the people can vote for me. What it would do is hopefully not get him enough votes to get elected, but I don't think there would be anything, and there's no legal precedent or nothing in our Constitution or nothing in our law that says you're disqualified from running from office. Now, is he impeachable? I think he did sedition. I think that was a seditious act. So, yes, I think he is impeachable, and I think he should be impeached, but that's me. But I don't see how that, as you answer your question, how that would preclude him from running from office. You'd have to point to some law or something.
I just would hope that Americans say what the president did yesterday was un-American. I finally see what he's up to, and I understand. As an American who believes in democracy, small d democracy, I will never vote for him again. That's what I hope Americans
do. Well, I'm saying 32% will. But here's my final point on here. Like, is that how do we solve this problem? I think the way we solve this problem is we do like what Smart Tech did. Is conservative radio has to be brought to accountability. And the only way that that's going to happen is if people threaten lawsuits for their lies and their misrepresentation of the truth. That has to happen again and again and again for their listeners to see how false they are. Because I'm telling you, I have a friend who's a big Fox listener, and I have pounded the things over and over and over again, several different points, and he still doesn't believe what I'm saying. He still believes what he hears on Fox.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Mary in Memphis. Mary, are you in Memphis?
I'm hearing.
Hi, Mary in Memphis?
Yeah, here I am, Benny.
All right, Mary, we just have a few minutes left in the show.
Cancer treatment, but I have PTSD from yesterday. And impeachment's all well and fine, take too long. Can he just be Baker Act?
Can he be Baker Acted? I don't think so, Mary. I don't think he can be Baker Acted unless he was given an examination and something like that. And the Baker Act applies to Floridians, but it doesn't really apply to people in Washington, D.C. Although President Trump is a Floridian, but the Florida law doesn't apply up there in D.C. Let's go to Deborah in Lutz. Deborah, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. So I have this QAnon friend I've mentioned before on your show, in the neighborhood. And I just wanted to say, you know, those of us who are his progressive friends have been pushing back on him for a long time because he would make all these predictions of stuff that was supposed to happen that never happened until yesterday. And he had been posting these QAnon drops, as they call them, for weeks about January 6th. So anybody that's saying, hey, we didn't know this was coming, that is wrong. He was making specific details available about storming the Capitol and taking over so Trump could be given his second term and all of that stuff. And then I also wanted to tell you, I live out in Pasco County in the country. And last weekend, there was something going on outside on the road that people wanted to look at. So I went out there, and all my neighbors, and almost everybody has a Trump flag out here, we're talking about January 6th. Do you have enough ammo? Did you get to the range? Did you do this and that for January 6th? And in both cases with the QAnon guy and these other folks, I said, well, what's going on in January 6th? And they were saying, well, that's when we're going to make sure Trump is rightfully installed in the White House, and that's going to upset the BLM and Antifa. So, you know, there's going to be riots, so we just want to be ready for that. So, you know, like I say, and here's the thing. We're just a bunch of people out here in rural Pasco County. So if I'm hearing about January 6th for weeks, I'm thinking, well, gee, you would think the FBI, NSA, and all the others, Capitol Police, the National Guard, et cetera, you would think that they would all be clued into this stuff, because this is all just stuff coming over Facebook, and I'm sure it was all over Parler, I would hope.
Yeah, there needs to be investigation. Even we talked about on this show what was going to happen on January 6th.
Yeah,
if we could see it this far away, certainly the authorities in Washington could have seen it coming. Why they didn't step up needs to be investigated.
Well, why is because we do know through, I get a lot of my news through DOD channels because I'm a retired military officer, and the why is that we know that our military, including the National Guard and law enforcement, have been infiltrated by white supremacists.
Hmm.
So
that's terrible.
Know, Deborah, we have reports of things happening yesterday where there are people that believe that the protesters were let into the Capitol.
Yeah, we saw some reports about that. Deborah, thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you for your call. Rob writes in, I have a question. I keep seeing South Vietnamese flags at these Proud Boy Trump rallies. I saw some yesterday. What is the significance of this? Why are they using the flag? No one can seem to answer this, nor do they even recognize this flag. It's yellow with red stripes. Why are they using this, writes Robert. I don't know, Robert. I don't know the answer to that. I know that there. I saw a green flag that I did not recognize, but I would be curious to see if, and I have not seen this yet, whether or not there were flags used by neo-Nazis that were brought into the Capitol yesterday, and I'm still waiting to see a report about that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. We're talking about the invasion of the U.S. Capitol yesterday by Trump supporters. And let's go to John in St. Petersburg. Hey, John, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hi, Rob. Just because of time, I'll make this quick. Trump's not going to get impeached. There's not enough time to do it. But New York State will take care of him, and that will be that, and also take care of Junior and a couple other family members. What will happen, though, Biden will restore order. You're not going to change anybody's mind. People are who they are, and it's proven now. But what Biden will do is he will reinforce the FBI. He will bring back all the intelligence agencies up to where they're supposed to be, and they will squelch. They won't eliminate, but they will squelch these maggots back into their caves where they belong. And that's exactly Hillary Clinton said that many years in her interview. She said, President, it's to protect the people. You're not going to get rid of bad people, but you have to keep them in check and squelch them where you can. And that's what he'll do. And that's about it. You're not changing people's mind.
All right, John, thank you for that. And we've done stories about this, and Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Has done stories about this. There was a whole department in Washington, D.C. that was looking at left-wing and potential right-wing violence, people that might engage in violence. And in the last few years, that project has shifted, so it's looking at potential left-wing violence, but it really has ignored right-wing violence. I think we got to be on the lookout for right-wing violence after yesterday. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Nick in Tampa. Nick, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Rob, what I'd like to say is, like the last caller, there's no way that they're going to impeach him. There's not enough time, and there's no way the 25th Amendment. I really think that people got to get off this bashing Trump because he's going to be out of office. I mean, they got to start holding the fire to Biden. He's going to do all these things, you know, with the healthcare system and the minimum wage, and you know all this other stuff. You know, why don't they start talking about that? Why is it? It's like an obsession. It's like a very emotional obsession to see this.
Yeah, Nick.
Man,
Nick, did you hear the show yesterday? We talked about Biden and healthcare and the minimum wage. That was practically the whole show yesterday.
Right, you
missed it. All right, Nick, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. For those of you that don't want to miss a show, you can podcast the show. So you can subscribe to the podcast of Radioactivity just by going to WMNF.org. By the way, next week, WMNF is doing a training seminar via Zoom for people that would like to report news for us, local news. And we're beginning that training session next week. If you go to the WMNF.org website, you can find information in the news section about how to sign up for that. And if you're interested in volunteering time, it does take time, please go to that website, WMNF.org, and sign up. 813-239-9663. David writes this, I've been pushing the idea of the 25th Amendment to depose Trump for a few years now, and I'm glad to see the media and several officials finally now pushing the idea. I would be pleased to see Pence and the cabinet push forward with that now and have Pence as president for the next 2 weeks, writes David. And let's go to Jeremiah in Sarasota. Jeremiah, thank you for calling in. What's up?
Well, I think you hit it on the head earlier with the with watching out for violence. And Trump is just about out of there. But I think that what we saw was an angry mob. And, you know, the hungry mob is an angry mob. These people aren't hungry for Trump. They're hungry for something deeper than that. And that's the real concern. It's not going to go away in a couple of weeks. I think we're lucky that yesterday wasn't a bloodbath, that there wasn't more resistance.
But what's to stop this group? Let's say the group comes back into town for the inauguration. Let's say this group of 20 to 40,000 people comes back for the inauguration. What's to stop them next time from taking over Congress or taking over the White House? Because they proved they could do it once.
I hope the NSA.
The NSA.
I hope we have somebody that steps up for that. I don't know the answer for it, but I'm frightened and embarrassed.
Yeah. All right. Jeremiah, thanks a lot.
How difficult it is to get on an airplane.
Yeah, it is very difficult to get on an airplane. Thank you. Ron in West Tampa says, I am saddened and disgusted by both the rioters and by Donald Trump. He showed his complete mental decay and sole aim of destroying this country. There was no real law enforcement yesterday. Where was the National Guard? This is just the start. These seditionists are emboldened by this. What will they try next as Biden takes over, writes Ron in West Tampa. And Kay writes this, Trump needs to be removed from office now. Rick Scott needs to be tried for not stopping an escalation of a dangerous situation, along with Ted Cruz and the others, as they did not tell fellow Americans the truth yesterday. Fact-checking Trump is easy, so why, oh why, do so many believe him? They should all be made to stand before us and tell us the truth about the election. It should never have gone this far. It will be the most dangerous time for this country, the next 13 days, writes Kay. And let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, actually, that gentleman who just sent an email gave my point that, and then my mind went blank because I haven't had any caffeine yet this morning. But, you know, a few years ago and during your drive, you guys had a great T-shirt that said, make lying wrong again. And I love that one. And that's basically what we're waiting for from the Biden administration, is for them to start coming out with T-shirts that simply say, make racism wrong again. Because that's basically what the majority of these Trumpers are about, I believe. And the problem is that Trump has given it a green light for the last 4 years. It's time. We're hoping that when Biden becomes president again, he puts racism back into the shame corner, back in to where you have to, you know, where it's not something you can brag about. It's actually something that you realize you shouldn't be doing. And hopefully that will happen. You know, as they say, when you, I just saw pictures of the state steps, the steps of the House last year when the Black Lives Movement was going on. They had guards up there. They had police lined up three across. I mean,
yeah, that's a picture from the Lincoln Memorial on June 2nd of this year. Yeah. I posted that on my Facebook page. Jose, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Enjoy the weekend.
All right, you too. Jose mentioned donating and T-shirts and all that. I just want to remind you that this is the radio station that does stand up to far-right activity. And if you believe there should be at least one radio station that has calm, thoughtful discussions that are fact-based here in the Tampa Bay area, please make a contribution online at WMNF.org and help us stay on the air. Polly in Ozona writes, Trump and all his backers need to be removed and charged with treason. I thought the Georgia phone call was enough to have him removed from office, but this is ridiculous, writes Polly. And looks like we're out of time. I can read some emails here in the next 20 seconds. Karen writes this, Trump needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. This was treasonous and was sedition. And if we allow this to go unprosecuted, it leaves future presidents an open door, writes Karen in Dunedin. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, the Bay Area's non-commercial community radio station. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the Midpoint program with Janet and Shelley. We'll be doing a good job. And If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori, and this is 88.5 FM WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Let's go up to Washington, D.C. right now and get the latest news from NPR.